As I mentioned, we're speaking from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. That's the ninth hour. That's about 3 o'clock. About this time, they prayed three times a day. And Peter and John were going to the temple not to do the Jewish sacrifices. That was earlier. They were going to pray. And they had been born again. They understood that Jesus Christ was the perfect Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, that he was the final sacrifice. So as they were going to the temple through the east gate, the most beautiful gate, it was even called the beautiful gate. At the gate, there was laid a beggar. And this man, the Bible doesn't even mention his name. There's no name mentioned. He's just a lame man. He's a beggar. Usually people don't talk to him. Usually he doesn't make eye contact with people. Actually, it was traditionally wrong to look up. He just had to beg and look down. And he was in a pitiful state. The Bible says that from his mother's womb, he'd never walked. He never knew what it was to walk. He had to pay people, some of his prophets, to carry him and lay him at the gate. Wasn't allowed in. Oh, no, no. According to the Jewish tradition, somebody deformed. No. They could not enter. They were not allowed to enter into the temple. And I read somewhere that there was even a very stern warning. If a Gentile or a non-Jew were to enter, they do so at the peril of their own death. So it was a death sentence to enter. He wasn't allowed to enter. But now Peter and John, two very opposite disciples. Peter talked a lot. John was a more solemn character, thought a lot. And yet, there is a unity between them. God brings two opposite personalities together. And they enter the temple. And they see this man. They don't see him as a beggar. They see him as a lost soul. They have compassion on him. You see, when you are a new creation in Christ and you see suffering, you have compassion on that one. So they see somebody, they see not a beggar, they see a soul. They see someone in great need. And this is indeed a wonderful miracle. It's a powerful miracle. It happened, there's no doubt. It really happened. But beyond the physical miracle, beyond this physical miracle of the beggar, the lame man from his mother's womb rising up, there is a spiritual application. There's actually a living parable that we can gain from this. It reveals the healing power of the gospel. That's what this account is, and it reveals the authority of the author of the gospel, the mighty name, the power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, he rose, this beggar rose from a life of misery, a life of weakness, and strength filled those lifeless legs, and praise came to those lips that had been silent for so long. And this unnamed man is a picture of the entire human race, of every one of us, a picture of desperate need. He was born from his mother's womb crippled, damaged. He was unable to walk. And right here we see a picture of the condition of the of all mankind, of the human race. You see, we were all born in sin. We were born poor and helpless. We were cripples. We couldn't save ourselves. It's impossible. It's a picture of a man, a woman, damaged by the fall of man. That's our lot. We were damaged by the fall of man, by our first parents, Adam and Eve. And it's a picture of what sin has done to mankind. Oh, how unhappy this man was. But yet, his only hope was to be laid daily at the gate. He was not too proud to beg. He was not too ashamed to confess his need. I can't work. I've got to beg. And he would have probably never experienced the healing of Jesus Christ of Nazareth if he wasn't at the gate. Oh, we must not be too proud to acknowledge our need to the Lord. We would never be saved if we did not acknowledge our need to the Lord. Now, let me give you some context. This beggar is surrounded now by worshippers, all entering the gate beautiful to go and pray. And he's an ugly man. He's a deformed man sitting at the gate beautiful. He's excluded from going in himself. He's sitting in a very good spot. Yes, that's a good spot. There's many people that he can beg from. But you see, really, he needs more than just the few coins that people will give him. He needs a miracle, and not from hand to mouth, daily just buying enough to survive. He needs real help. He needs to be restored. Again, a picture of our condition. We need to be restored to that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How terrible it is to be lost in sin, sitting outside, never allowed to go inside. Very sad. Maybe he thought, I wonder what it's like inside. Oh, I'll never see. I can't walk. Nobody will take me. I'm not allowed to go in any way. I can't imagine what it's like in there. He was sitting at the gate, begging from people. But sadly, he was never placing his hope in the God of the temple. I don't think he really was a praying man, praying and asking the Lord, Lord, I long to go in and worship you. But do you know, maybe that was his position. I'm only making a suggestion. But it's possible. But surely what is true is that even today, there are multitudes upon multitudes of people in that condition. Sunday after Sunday, they come to church. Sunday after Sunday, they sit in church. Week after week, they are just like that beggar, sitting in the building, sitting at the door of the building. And people come to church. They sit in church, but they're not. They're in church, but they're not in Christ. They're in church, but they're not in Christ. What a pity. What a disaster. They are no better off than this poor beggar. They're in a desperate state. It's a sad and a pitiful condition. And to sit in darkness, to sit in the shadow of death, and to be bound in the affliction of irons and sin. And the question before us today is, are we just sitting in the church week by week, or are we sitting in Christ Jesus? Are we sitting at the gate like the beggar, so close, but excluded from the covenant, excluded from the promises. So close, but not in new creation in Christ. So those that have entered, there are many that have entered. They are new creations in Christ. And one of the marks of a new creation in Christ is that they have joy. They have peace in their heart. They have hope. They have a future. Why? Because they have believed in Christ Jesus. Oh, friend, have you got a hope? Have you got a future? Have you believed in Christ Jesus? Matthew 4 and verse 16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them who sat in the region of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Oh, there's nothing like that light that dawns in our lives. And the world doesn't see any value in it. The world thinks it's just nothing. And the world has a saying, and I know you've heard it. It says, God helps those who help themselves. But it's unbiblical. This beggar was really trying to help himself. This beggar was really trying to do everything. He was trying hard. He paid people to carry him to the gate. He begged at the gate, beautiful. But his effort, his hard work was getting him nothing. A few coins from hand to mouth. This was not life. This was miserable. This was just existing. It wasn't life at all. He was sitting in darkness. And many believers still believe, not many, well, some believers still believe they can help themselves. But the scripture says otherwise. We need a redeemer. Our problem's too big. We're too crippled. We're too broken. Broken bodies, broken minds, broken and depraved and sinful hearts. Oh, what is the cure for these things? We have no solution. We can't mend ourselves. We need a redeemer. We need somebody to heal our broken heart. We need somebody to cleanse our sinful heart. And the good news is that Jesus Christ has come for these broken ones. He has come to heal the sick. He's the great physician. He has come for the helpless. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Oh, he saves those that are crushed in spirit. You see, if we would acknowledge our need, and the beggar is a picture of us, and the beggar had the good sense to acknowledge his need. He knew he was broken. He knew he was crushed. And there are so many of us who are crushed under that heavy burden and weight of sin. Guilt crushes us. And we don't know what to do. And without God, we are alienated from life, from the covenant. We are guilty. We are in ignorance. We are in blindness. We are hopeless. That's man's condition without God. But if he comes to us, he will, when we are completely without strength. This is what the scripture says in Romans 5 and verse 6. For when you were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. Oh, we couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't redeem ourselves. We couldn't change one hair, black or white. But Christ has come to redeem us. The saving power of Jesus Christ. So this man, now, picture this. He's laid at the gate, the eastern gate, the most beautiful gate. All he knew to do. He had no skill. He had no profession. He only knew one thing, begging, begging. He would maybe he had a little cup. He would shake the cup and ask. It's a picture of fallen man, a picture of you and I, just begging, just begging. You know, this man only knew one thing, and you and I, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we only know one thing, and that thing, we know how to do it very, very well indeed. And that is, we all know how to sin. We know how to sin. No school needs to teach us. We know. We know how. We are experts, expert sinners. And as it was the habit of John and Peter to go up to the temple to pray, of that beggar, it was his habit to beg. And of us, without the Lord Jesus Christ, our habit is not to pray. Our habit is to sin. Our habit is to do wrong. Our habit is to look for new entertainments and new things. It's our nature and our practice when we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are like this beggar, stuck in a hopeless routine. Day after day, he came to that gate. Day after day, he had to beg. And the one who is not in Christ, day after day, they fall into sin. Day after day, they commit all kinds of wrong and things that they are so ashamed of. The guilt weighs upon them. They don't know how to cope with the guilt. And the good news is we will see that Jesus Christ is the solution. Well, where was this man begging? Where? Well, I've told you already, at the gate. And he was surrounded by wealth. Many rich people coming to pray. Great beauty. The gate was even called beautiful. And even with all those things surrounding him, he was still miserable. And I know you don't need me to tell you. You've heard this many times. But money can't make us happy. If you are miserable, money will not make you happy. And he was miserable. Why? Because he couldn't walk. The coins didn't satisfy him. He needed more than the coins. And there are people today. They have a good place in life. Maybe you've got a good profession. Maybe you've got a good skill, a good business, and you can make some money. And you say, well, I have a good place, like that beggar. I have a good place to beg. I get money. But friend, you need more than money in life to satisfy you. You need peace in your heart. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. So even if you've got a good profession and you are without Jesus Christ, it's all vain. It's all emptiness. Money cannot buy peace. Money cannot buy happiness. We need Jesus Christ in our souls. We need the Prince of Peace to come and live in our hearts. So this beggar was born in this condition, born from his mother's womb, vain and empty life, sitting at the gate begging. This had just become normal to him. This is what life was. Sit at the gate and beg. And for the sinner, this is what life is. Wake up in the morning, commit another sin, go home at night feeling terrible that you've done wrong. Oh, the lame soul, the lame one who is lame in soul, finds out that sin corrupts him. Sin pulls him down. Sin deforms our character, making what is abnormal in God's sight, what is despicable in God's sight, we just accept as normal. That's what sin does. It makes us just accept what is normal in our life And we hope God thinks it's normal, but it's not. It is sin. It is wrong. And now, the great surprise. Things begin to change for him. He's begging. He didn't do anything really. Nothing more. He just looked up, and it's a miracle. He sees Peter and John about to go into the temple. And he asked for alms. He asked for some coins. He expected. But if he knew who this was, if he knew that this was Peter and John, the servants of the Most High God, he would have expected much more than just a few coins. He would have expected something eternal and valuable. And then in verse 4, Peter says, "Look at us, look at us." And the man must have jumped, in his heart must have leaped, and he thought, "Nobody talks to me, and these people talk to me. This is wonderful." And he expected to receive something. He was very pleased. He was encouraged, and his expectation was raised. And then he realized, not many talk to me, not many look at me. No one had to tell him twice. Oh, he looked gladly. Oh, this is, now I'm going to get something. But then what he heard, it all seemed to go wrong again. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." He must have thought, "Why did you tell me to look at you if you haven't got anything? Why did you get my expectations up if you just tell me I haven't got anything for you?" And then he hears the words, "But what we have, receive. What we have, we give unto you." And they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And he'd never seen this in a long time, somebody talking to him. He was encouraged that somebody talked to him, and he was encouraged. He saw compassion in their eyes. "These are not hard men. They are kind men. They have taken notice of me." His heart was encouraged. And then he hears the poor, lame, and lifeless, and helpless soul comes into contact with resurrection life. And there's a joyful exchange. He no longer sits as a beggar. He now stands to his feet as a worshiper. No more a beggar, but a worshiper. Peter says, "Look on us." But what about us, oh friend? What about you and me? We have to understand that that Peter and John are not here, but the Lord wants our attention. He says, "Look at me. Look at him. Look at, place your hope and your faith in the eternal God." And in Isaiah 45 and verse 22, "Look to me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other." I am God, and there is no other. You see, God wants our attention. He wants us to look to him. Have you given your attention to the Lord? Have you given your attention to his holy word? And that's how salvation begins. When we give our attention to him, have you seen your great need for salvation? Do you see how easy it is to get saved? Just look. Look to him. Look to him, and you shall be saved. But he's the only one we can look to. There is no other Savior. There is no other one. Unto me, the Lord says, look, people say, well, I can't look to the Lord. You don't know what I've done, Pastor. I've been really bad. I'm a terrible person. How can I look to the Lord? Surely I don't deserve to look to Him. Friend, it's a wide invitation. This invitation is not just to the good. This invitation is to all the ends of the earth. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, the scripture says, look to me. So the beggar was lame in his feet, and we are lame in our souls. And Peter commanded him in a tone of authority, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Now, Peter saw that this man was ready to obey this command. And he stretched forth his hand and helped him to obey it. And he raised him up, and strength came into his ankle bones. And so fast that man stood up. So quickly, so instantly, he sprang up, completely whole. And do you know, if you've ever seen young children, they don't learn to walk instantly. If they've never walked, it takes a long time. This miracle, this man immediately stood up and he walked without shaking, without trembling. And not only walked, he leaped and he praised the Lord. So Christ, now whenever a sick or a crippled soul comes to Christ Jesus, it's just as much a miracle. Yet, actually, it's even a greater miracle, because it is not just for a short time on this earth. It is forever and ever and ever that He raises us up. In a similar way, we look to God. Oh, we look to God. We hear His command and we obey it. And if we do not hear, how will we obey? If there's no preacher, how will we hear? If there's no good news, oh, when we hear the good news, faith arises in our hearts. And when we obey, strength is given and we are made whole. Maybe you hear. Maybe you want to rise, but you need a little help. Your ankles are weak. And Peter took that man by the hand and he helped him to his feet. And straight away, his ankle bones were strengthened. I was reading how in Spurgeon's church, he had some elders posted around in the gospel service. And when they would see a poor beggar, I'm talking spiritual beggar now, trying to rise to his feet, they would go to him and lend a hand and help him and pray with him and encourage him. Oh, friend, if you need some help today, come and see me afterwards. We will take you by the hand and help you to your feet, and you shall receive that new life. There will be an immediate change. You won't need to learn to walk. You will walk, and you will leap, and you will praise God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You see, one moment that beggar was laid at the gate, unable to walk, but what a marvelous change. He's now walking. He's now leaping. He's praising God. He's totally healed. And when Jesus Christ saves a sinner, he's totally saved, completely saved, completely new. With such clear results, there will be no doubt in your heart that a mighty miracle has taken place. Let me draw to a close by just focusing on the things that he did. He walked. What, this was proof that something had taken place in his life. He walked. He had a new life. He walked in a new direction. He had new likes and new dislikes. No more love for darkness. No more love for sin. But now he loved to walk in the light, where Christ Jesus is in the light. And he longed to have fellowship with Christ Jesus. And he also longed to have fellowship with other fellow believers. People were amazed, and they looked at him and they said, "Was this not the beggar? Was this not the one that was laying at the gate? And now look at him. He's leaping and praising God." Oh, when people look at us, they say, "Was that not that terrible person? Such a sinner. But look at them now. They are walking righteously. They are walking in truth. Truly, there has been a change in their life." Oh, that change is not from beneath. That change is from above. And they give glory to God. Oh, and that, then the sinner, this beggar man, he was leaping. He was leaping. There was joy. There was freedom. He was given legs. And when a doubting, unbelieving sinner gets saved, do you know what he's given? He's given the legs of faith. He now believes. He now trusts the word of God. He now stands upon the solid rock. He's given the legs of faith. And instantly he believes. He's got legs of faith. He stands firm on the word. This poor crippled sinner who was dead in his trespasses and sins is now brought into spiritual life. He's leaping and he's praising God. Why? He's able to enter the temple. He'd been banned. He wasn't allowed in. But now he's allowed into the temple and he's so happy to enter. Oh, there's such joy and such a leap in his step. And imagine the great joy. Imagine that man's great joy. The man born from his mother's womb, a cripple. He could never walk. He could never stand. He could never leap. That's you and me before Jesus Christ came to us. But grace, grace from the Lord Jesus Christ has caused us to walk and praise. And praising, he had never been allowed to enter the temple before, but now he enters. He enters for the first time praising God. You see, he's praising God. He's not praising Peter and John. No, they are just the instruments that God used. He's praising God for what God has done for him. Oh, God alone is the Savior. Jesus Christ alone is the one who saves us. We praise him. Oh, we give him thanks. We sing unto him. Now that he's been healed, he feels compelled to give thanks. Now that we are saved, we are compelled. We long to go in and say, "Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I can live in your light. Thank you that I can walk the paths that you have laid out for me. Oh, your name is to be praised. I've received new life from you. This is so wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you." He had experienced this living God. The living God had touched him, and now he was walking. He was leaping, and his heart was overflowing with joy. Friend, this will be the exact experience that we will have when we believe in the Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart will be filled with gratitude. Our heart will be filled with praise unto him. We will leap, we will walk, and we will praise God. Perhaps sin has laid us very low, like this man was laid low and at the gate, beautiful, every day, sitting in darkness, he heard the words from Peter and John, arise and walk. We don't hear Peter and John. We hear the scripture, repent and believe and you shall be saved. Arise and live in the new life that Jesus Christ has provided for you. Praise will be given to God that he has remembered such a one as me. So undeserving was I, but Lord, you remembered me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you need a stretched out hand to help you to rise to your feet, we are here to help you to rise to your feet. You say to me in closing, Pastor, I want this to happen to me. I really want this to happen to me. I want to enter in. I'm not content to lay at the gate on the outside. I want to come inside. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be washed away. What must I do? Repent and believe the gospel, and you shall be saved. Turn from darkness to light. Turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. I can't turn for you. You must turn yourself. Say, oh Lord, I'm tired of being a spectator. I'm tired of just watching people go in to praise you. But I want to go in, Lord. I want to praise you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to be your child. Oh Lord, I want to be adopted into the family of God. Remember me in mercy. Oh, when you pray like that, God will hear you. He will rescue you. And he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be forever a child of the Most High God. Amen.